Heavenly Father, we come here today thanking you for all things. We thank you because you are an awesome and a faithful and a keeping and a loving God. Father, we thank you because you love us despite us. You loved us when we wasn't wise enough to love ourselves. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. And we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we pray that we leave here a little more in tune with you than when we showed up. And we give you all honor, praise, and glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to do something real quick because I just got to know what I got to know. And because I'll be here all night wondering if this is all right. There it is. How about that? Is that better? All right. Danny, can you hear the recording? I need you to type fast and let me know. We're going to get this right. We need someone to... We're excited that Ed is taking over media here soon. Amen. Yes, Lord. I won't have to do this. Right. All right, so we talked about... Well, I'm kind of in a pickle because my notes aren't here yet. For you guys, everybody in cyberspace has the notes, but you guys don't have them. We're waiting on someone. So I'm going to have to go ahead and get started not to waste y'all's time. And I don't know what to say about. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. When we get the notes, I'll just send you the answers and you can fill them in. Does that work? Yeah, I kind of get a cheat day. Amen. All right. Now, to those that's on social media that we have emailed, you want to go to the part one of the notes. It's got 27 questions or 27 fill in the blanks on that one. So you want to go to that one. Let's get busy. Tonight, we're going to go over part two of the book of Acts again because we're going to start testing. We're going to start testing as soon as next week on the book of Acts. And why is he testing from Bible study? Because I want to know that you know what you need to know to get other people saved. Amen. And so I will be sending you the study sheets for week number one, but the video is already up. So all you got to do is go on the page, scroll down, and you'll be able to see the video, the first week of the book of Acts, and you can fill in the blank study form, and then I want you to study and study for this one as well, because we are going to know that you know what you're supposed to know so that others can know. All right. So we're in chapter 1, verse number 12. And in this section, Luke is letting us know God's plan continues on. It does not stop. It does not stop. These apostles aren't like us today, where the smallest thing can happen and all of a sudden the plan stops. This is not the situation here, and Luke is letting us know that God's plan continues on. The Old Testament was filled with Christ, was fulfilled with Christ. Christ then promises the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts enabling the apostles to begin the work of fulfilling the Great Commission to preach the gospel and to gather in the churches to continue the work. Now, this is important. This is very important. And even the last time that I did this, I did not go over this. And working on it last night, it kind of showed me something. The Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts enabling the apostles to begin the work. Now, if you remember in week number one, we talked about the main thing that we were talking about was what Jesus began. That whole demo is all about what Jesus began. In fact, you could take it as far as to say the whole book of Acts, we are operating from what Jesus began. And so now the Holy Spirit comes and he enables us to be able to continue. So get this, you will never be able to do God's work without the Holy Spirit. It ended? Oh, wow. I was doing good. All right. We got to have somebody. Yeah, it sure did, didn't it? All right. So we're recording this. They just going to listen. All right. We'll upload it and let them listen to it like that. So you will never be able to continue or do the work of God without the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the biggest problems that we have in the church. And this is why we have a whole lot of churches that's filled with a whole lot of people, but not a whole lot of power. Because there's work going on, but it's not necessarily the work of God, but it's under the guise of God. But when it's under the guise of God, you don't necessarily need the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? So we can all sit in here, because we're quite intelligent, we can all sit in here and come up with a bunch of ideas to grow the church, but you could grow the church. The problem is you wouldn't grow the people. Amen? And this is what we have going on. This is why there's a church on every corner, but ain't nothing changed, because the people haven't grown. You understand? We have figured out how to fill the building, but we've not figured out how to fill our hearts with Christ. Amen? So the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, enabling the apostles to begin the work of fulfilling the Great Commission, to preach the gospel and to gather in the churches to continue the work. Listen, so this knocks this whole notion of gathering. We don't got to go to church. We can stay home and watch it on, you know, on the TV, or watch it on the live streams and all of that. No. They gathered. And maybe one of the things that we need to stop trying to do is reinventing the wheel when it comes to growing God's church God's way. Amen. Now, we bless the Lord for social media and things like that, for people who are the sick and shut in, the people who have to work, you know, the people that are going through some things that, you know, they just can't get to Bible study. They can't get to church. But for people who are just sitting at home and going, you know what, maybe next week, that's a part of where we need to be growing up. Amen. So they gathered in the churches to continue the work. And so when we come to verses 12 through 26, we come to the situation regarding a man by the name of Judas. And it's recorded here to allow some closure where Judas is concerned. So you see, with us, we have heard the story and we kind of just leave it at that. You ever have somebody tell you the story of something that went on that was traumatic to them, or that was super crazy to them, and you hear it and you're like, wow, but then you move on. You hear it, you jump in your car, 20 minutes later, you've got two or three other things that you've already dealt with via phone, via email, via Facebook, via Messenger, and all of a sudden that major traumatic experience in someone else's life is not so major to you anymore. It's actually just lost your train of thought. And when somebody brings you up, then they begin to remember, oh yeah, isn't it a travesty that we only remember people when it's something to remember them about? We if ain't nothing going on in your life, it's hard for us to keep you on our minds. But you know, like, I don't like Kyrie Irving. I can't stand him. And locker room killer is what I think. But because he's been in the media for not taking this vaccination, that's not why I don't like him. I just don't like him. But guess what? He's been on my mind. But before this conversation about the vaccine, nothing caught my attention about Kyrie Irving. I never thought about him. I never, you know, I could see him and not see him. You understand what I'm saying? He could be in a picture and I not even notice him. You know, like, you know, my mind might go, Kyrie, nothing, you know. But because he's got issues going on in his life right now, guess what? He's on my mind. Ain't that deep? We're like that with family even. We don't love them the way that we. You understand what I'm saying to you? They're not on our mind like they should be. But find out that something crazy done happened with them, and then all of a sudden you can't get them off your mind. Why? Because you're gossiping about them, you're talking about them, you're listening to gossip about them. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we've got to get to the point to where this thing right here is always on our minds. We shouldn't just leave it at that, and we can't leave it at that. Why? Because the situation that started way back then is still operating all the way now. So we hear the story and we leave it at that. But for these people who are living this, you have this horrific window that everything has walked through. We are 40 days since the execution of Jesus, of course, and just a few days from his resurrection. And just 3 days before that would have happened, Judas, of course, would have betrayed Jesus. He would have seen what he had done. So you have two people in this core group that have already died catastrophic, horrific deaths. That's where they're at. This first chapter is ending this section of scripture. It shows us that in the worst, craziest, unthinkable circumstances, Luke shows us still God's redemptive plans cannot be derailed. God's plan continues on even after the sin that was committed by one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, one of the 12 that was chosen by Jesus. There is this overwhelming sense in the first chapter that the work will not be delayed. It will not be defeated. It will not be derailed. It continues on. That's the progress of God's plan. He works in the good, the bad, the ugly. Don't make no, never mind. He is God. So with Judas, it was anticipated in the Old Testament, predicted in the Old Testament. It was anticipated by Jesus Christ and predicted by Jesus Christ, and it came to pass. Now, if you catch where we are, wherever I'm at now, what we'll do afterwards is we'll fill in whatever ones you missed. So with Judas, it was anticipated in the Old Testament, predicted in the Old Testament. It was anticipated by Jesus Christ and predicted by Jesus Christ, and it came to pass. It does not in any way damage God's purpose. God's purpose unfolds exactly as God designed it. So let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I just want to read one verse. In him being Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. It was Judas who delivered Christ into the hands of his Jewish enemies. That's on there if you guys want to try to catch up. It was Judas who delivered Christ into the hands of his Jewish enemies. Jesus was delivered over to death as God's plan, God's redemptive plan, which you can see all the way in the book of Mark. There is a schedule. The first act of Judas to betray Jesus, to deliver him, to play a role in the horrific treatment of Christ, was all predicted and prophesied, all a part of the plan. So you get to see, we are setting some of the groundwork that guards the redemptive plan. Get this, and keeps it on schedule. What I wanted you to see, and get you to see this in the book of Mark. He arrives, and they are saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Then he is before the Sanhedrin. Next, he's before the courts. Next, he's on his way to the cross. He dies at 3:00 and then rises on the third day. Everything is in order and done on a specific time frame and on a schedule. What I want you to see is it did not stop in the book of Mark. And it did not stop in the book of Luke, and it continues in the book of Acts, and it continues on in an orderly procession of God's ordained powerful plan. And the great part about all of this is that you and I are a part of it. His redemptive plan is on schedule. He has prepared the apostles for 40 days between resurrection and his ascension. Am I going too fast? I'm going too fast.
I got to ask a couple people because some people always got something. So. Lord help me. So let me say this again. And the part about all of this is you and I are a part of it. His redemptive plan is on schedule. He has prepared the apostles for 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension. The apostles and the prophets are the foundation of the church. These are the men that would write the New Testament, that would plant in the church, and they are the foundation of the church. So in them, Jesus is setting up this group of things that must happen, okay? He's setting up this group of things that must happen. Number one, they must have the right message. They must have the right message. So Jesus would teach them everything they needed to know about the gospel, about the kingdom to come. He would teach them everything they needed to know about the gospel, about the kingdom to come. Number two, they needed the right manifestation. He showed himself alive to them by many infallible proofs so that they would know that the plan was to continue on. Number three, they needed power to achieve this unthinkable task. They needed power to achieve this unthinkable task. Verse 8, then you shall become witnesses when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Number four, he left them with the right mystery. They would not know when he would return and establish his kingdom. Number five, he left them, I'm sorry. Number five, he left them with the mission. And what was the mission? To be witnesses. Okay, so scripture teaches and church history confirms that the body of Christ is the most potent and most effective when it simply speaks and lives the gospel. When it simply speaks and lives the gospel without apology. The reason he defined the mission, and that was to witness, that mission was to witness, he defined the right mystery, which was basically that he could come at any moment, as we know, these two things are laying in front of us. We are to be witnesses, and guess what? Abba, Father, can walk through the door at any time, so we need to keep the house clean and be in order. The problem is in the passing of time, we have become comfortable when it was meant for us to have urgency. We have become comfortable, and he meant for there to be an urgency. So get this. The true gospel may be ahead of us because the gospel advances by personal witness of Christ, one soul at a time, one life at a time. So, right message, right manifestation, right power, right mystery, right mission. So we need one other item, and that would be the right men. We need the right men. In this case, the right man to fill Judas's place. That's what takes place in this section beginning with verse number 12. This is where we see the Lord add the final man that would make up the 12 apostles that would be the foundation of the church. Are we recording? You got it working? So let's begin at verse 12, Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet,
which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they walked up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, and with his brothers. Now, the Lord has chosen 12. One was defected. We have listed all of them. There these are select men. In John 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." And this is just funny to me, just a side note. I remember when Miriam and I first got married, and you know, she was all Bible and stuff. And she said, you remember that? We was talking something. You were saying something to me, and I said, "You didn't choose God. God chose you." And she said, no, that ain't right. I chose God. We choose God." And then I said, no, it sounds good, and it makes a lot of sense, but in the natural, but he chose you. And so she just kept on talking. And you know, when you know you're right, you know, I just kind of just lured her in some more. Just come on out a little deeper in the water. I'm going to make sure you drown. I'll make sure you drown. I just kept on saying, no. And then when I brought this scripture up, man, you were so quiet in my house, you could hear a rat licking ice. You hear me? It was quiet. And so you do not choose him. He chooses you and appoints you. They are the 12 out of all others. And there are a lot of others that had to be eyewitnesses to the life of Jesus. They had to be eyewitnesses to the resurrection, and they had to personally be chosen by the Lord. So the apostles and the prophets are the first generation of preachers. The apostles and the prophets are the first generation of preachers. That is the reason that it is important the apostles are eyewitnesses to his life, death, and resurrection, because they are ordained to be the first preachers. So our Lord Jesus, ooh, you know what? The Holy Spirit just dealt with me on that. They had to have seen that, right? They had to have seen it. Could that be why us preachers don't preach with power and fire anymore? Because we haven't seen conversion in a long time. We've seen people come to church. We've seen people join the church. We've seen people take on ministries. We've seen all of that. But the reality is, you know, when I sit back and I think about things and I really look at things, I struggle to really sit back and go, I have seen a conversion lately. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. When's the last time you've seen a conversion? Someone that's going to church that wasn't going to church, and all of a sudden the word has changed them to the point to where you can say, they're on point, boy. They are not playing no more. There's a conversion. Or someone who's been sitting in church for years, dead, just sitting in church for years. And then all of a sudden something happens, and now all of a sudden you begin to see conversion. Now, I'm not saying this is the preacher's fault. It could be. But I believe it's the people's fault. I believe people refuse to receive. You can, baby, can I have some of my Gatorade? Just real quick, just can I have some of my Gatorade? Can I have some of my Gatorade? Can I have some? Yeah. Well, give it here. Bring it here. Bring it here. Give me some Gatorade. Will you give me the Gatorade? Would you give me the Gatorade, please? Come here. Would you give me the Gatorade? I'm asking for the Gatorade, but I'm refusing to receive it. So I'm going to be thirsty. You see what I'm saying to you? As long as you sit back, come in, play the role, but don't receive, you're going to always be thirsty. You understand what I'm saying to you? Thank you. Appreciate you. Don't nobody want to receive. See, because receiving births responsibility. You understand what I'm saying to you? receiving birth responsibility. And nobody wants the responsibility of being saved. It's cute. It sounds good. It has people looking at you a certain type of a way, but receiving birth responsibility for soul changes. I used to say this all the time. Change changes things. You ever want to see the whole spectrum of your life change? Just change. Just change yourself. And everything connected to you has to change. Why? Because you're not the same. Even if that change is simply them walking out of your life, that's still a change, you see. This is why all of us, you know, in church, and ain't nobody around us changed. Because we ain't changed. Ain't been no conversion. Pastors are dying out here, preaching their hearts out, giving it all they got. And folk are refusing to receive. You understand? Lord, have mercy. So our Lord Jesus appointed them originally and giving them the task. They are the foundation of the church. And this is a calling of God, a unique calling of God. The only 12 and the addition of Paul, the Apostle Paul. So you might say, hold on, wait a minute. Was Paul, an eyewitness? And we'll get to that later on in about the 22nd or 23rd chapter. But we will see Paul was an eyewitness, and we will deal with that on the road to Damascus. But God designed 12. The ranks needed to be filled. The reason why I wouldn't skip over this is because, again, occasionally when people are reading through the Bible, they ask, what was the whole Matthias thing about? The reason is the ranks had to be filled. Matthias is major because the ranks have to be filled. Nothing awesome about Matthias. It's the plan. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, if we can get that in our head, it's nothing about us. It's the plan. You understand? And so oftentimes we get in the way of the plan, making it about us. You understand? And so the ranks have to be filled. The right men is, I want you to get this, the right men is just as important as the right mission. Because there can be some bad missions, some wrong missions. The right men is just as important as the right mission. So this is the final work of preparation before the Holy Spirit comes and the whole enterprise is launched. If you got a towel, I really will receive it. So get the right men. That becomes the dominating theme of this entire passage. No, I'm just playing. Thank you. Get the right men. That becomes the dominating theme of this entire passage. Listen. The biggest problem in the 21st century church, if it ain't, it's got to be up there, is we got a whole lot of the wrong men in the wrong positions. Got a whole lot of wrong. And let me tell you something, baby. I ain't just talking about pastors. You understand what I'm saying to you? So some of us ought not have any type of a title except need help. You know what I'm saying? Gotta have. Oh, Lord, how mercy. This is why I get in trouble. One of the biggest problems. Jeff, you cut that heat on? Jesus. Man. The way my 260 set up. Jeez. Oh. I'm over just rolls, just coming down. Just uncomfortable with myself. No. One of the biggest problems in this church, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. And you know what I had to do? I had to stop trying to create what wasn't here. And begin to pray for what was necessary.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. This whole ministry is going to take a shift. Because for us to get to this level, excellence has to be across the board. You understand what I'm saying to you? Excellence has got to be across the board. And so I remember listening to someone, and that's why you can't take everybody's philosophy for your own. And they said, you got to use what you got. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I mean, you know, I come from, you know, the old school. And so, like, if you out of milk, if you got a little bit of milk and you ain't got that much cereal, you can put a little bit of water in there and get away with it. Amen? That's using what you got. That's okay. But I need a, and I'm not saying this, you know, I'm just trying to make a point. I need a deacon, right? But I can't put the best custodian in the building where the deacon is supposed to be. Because what will happen is I'll just be the deacon. You understand what I'm saying to you? If I got to tell the deacon everything he's got to do and needs to do, when to do it, every time, guess what? I'm the deacon. See, so it's critical here at the Unity Worship Center that, and this is the problem. This is why we're having an issue growing. This is the reason why we're always talking about finances, the necessity of finances. This is why we can't get these ministries launched the way they're supposed to be launched, because in the sanctuary, and I'm not talking about you guys, but I'm saying in the sanctuary, for the majority of this church, we don't have the right people. And I'm trying to figure out what is just a slow learner. I'm just trying to figure out who just ain't that motivated and it just takes a little bit more. And then I'm trying to figure out who's just been sent to make sure we don't succeed. Yeah, that's what I've been asking God. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. Be careful when you want to know things like that, because those answers will hurt you sometimes. When God says this one, and you go, oh, Lord, ain't no way in the world. Oh, no. This one's sent. By, as the Bible said, the evil one. You see. Lord, have mercy. Get the right men. That's the theme. Number one, the submission of the disciples. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I need you to get. And this has been a reoccurring theme in my life for the last month. Submission. You know why it's jacked up here? Because 90% of our church refuses to submit. And it's funny because, you know, it's, and you know what it is, right? It's bad attitude. People sit back and go, you ain't going to tell me how to live. I didn't. The Bible did. You ain't going to tell me what I shouldn't be doing. I didn't. The Bible did. I mean, because in my natural, I did worse than you. So, you know, if it was up to me, I heard T.D. Jakes say, if it was up to me, I'd rewrite the whole Bible and we all go to heaven. You know, but it's not. So people, I'm grown. That's a sign of childishness. That's a sign of immaturity. When you hear people say stuff like, I'm grown, because a biblical fact has been announced, a biblical fact has been said, and you say something like, I'm grown, that means you're a child. That means you're a child. Because children can't accept discipline. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it's funny to me. You know, I said this to you the other day, Miriam. I said, it's always the bullies that can't take the heat. Bully, people run their mouth. And the moment Pastor Lyon says something, folk fold like laundry. you know what? I'm going to get out of here because the Lord ain't here. Can I just go ahead and tell you this? If every time you are offended, you leave the church, something is wrong with you, not the churches.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I'm amazed. I marvel at how people can talk and talk and talk. And then when I say something, now you walk past me and don't speak. Well, you were speaking to me when I was letting you diss me. So there has to be a submission. And so guess what? Because Pastor Lyons is saying this, that, and the other, folk refuse to submit. Like you showing me. You going to hell, not me. Not y'all, but you know what I'm saying. Ain't nobody going to tell me, you know. And the Lord showed me this one day. I was at a funeral. I was preaching at a funeral. I said, and at the end of it, I said, now our culture usually, and it was a kid that he got robbed. And he got killed because he was a drug dealer. He got killed. They were robbing him. And I said, now our culture likes to usually after the funerals go get high and drunk. I said, but you sat here and boo-hooed and cried all through this thing. And it's just kind of like crazy for you to go do what got him killed. Right? I said, so what I'm hoping is that when you leave here and you put that blunt in your mouth, that I mess up your whole high. I just hope you think about me. And the Holy Spirit showed, and when you get to drinking, you know, I just hope you're thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, and he said, it was like about an hour and a half later, he said, they're smoking. He showed me when he said, they're smoking. He said, I ain't studying him. F him. That's what they were saying. You see. And you think that you're saying, but you're not saying that to me. You see. See, you got to be careful about true men and women of God, because when you diss them, they only saying what they was told to. See, scary folk don't say nothing. You know, godless folk don't say nothing that's controversial. Oh, can I say that again? Godless folk don't say nothing that ain't controversial. But God, for people, for him I live, for him. Ain't nobody scared of you. What you gonna do? What did the Bible say? You will never leave me nor forsake me, so what can mere man do to me? So you say, when you got that in your spirit, you know, that's when you remember, you can sit 200 deep in here, and everybody's either hustling or gun trafficking, and ain't none of them, and only a handful of them are from Kentucky, and you sit here and you tell them, one of y'all killed them. The Lord said, one of y'all killed them. You ought to take care of his kids. And they get to walking around. They get to coming down out of the thing and walking around in the sanctuary. And you still get to talking. You still talking. And you still talking. See, a godless person won't say what's controversial. But a man full of God, a woman full of God, will say what needs to be said despite the retaliation. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we have to, one, submit. Two, there was a suicide of a disciple. There was the suicide of a disciple. He couldn't live with what he'd done to himself. You understand what I'm saying to you? Number three, there is now what? The selection of a disciple. There is a selection of a disciple. So God told them not to begin the mission yet. Now they're gathered here. Verse 4 said, go to Jerusalem, but don't leave. Let's look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So they are going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, but not yet, not yet. Wait for what the Father has promised. And see, the Father had promised the coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 5. And let's look at that real quickly. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Not many days from now. So they are in a waiting place, and they have to wait. This is a place I can stay at all night, because the people in the church, we ain't good at waiting. Amen? So we are always having to do something if there is a spot where there is quietness. Some you know, when you know, We always feel like we got to do something. We always have to have a flow. There always has to be a flow in their purpose. You ever just been worshiping and, just in here worshiping and everybody's just is singing. And the next thing you're just waiting. And the praise team, they stuck there. They can't go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba-sha-da-ba-ba-sha-da-ba-sha. Well, first of all, you're out of order. I speak in tongues. I believe in tongues and all of that. But you're out of order. Why? Because why are you speaking in something that you cannot interpret? Why? They are ushering in the presence of the Lord. There we are worshiping, and then all of a sudden, there's a disruption, and you're the only one that's getting. You're the only one that's getting something. Everybody else is. So when you're going to have that moment, have that interpretation. You see. Now I see people, I have been in places where people sit back and they quietly go into their thing. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no problem with that. Because that ain't throwing nobody out. If that throws you off, you meddling. But this whole thing, see, because, when I got out of prison, this is what I didn't understand about tongues. How everybody's tongue from Kentucky to New York sound the same. I'm not saying, something's wrong with that, right? I'm not saying because, that could be a part of the unity of it, right? I'm going to tell y'all a story. Quick story. You remember? Oh, God. Okay, here it goes. So one day I'm watching Jamal Bryant, and he is preaching the roof off. We met Jamal Bryant. He blessed us. He blessed us heavily. And so, this is my guy. So I'm watching him. Benny, this is one of the moves where you do this. You know how you go. You drop your head and just shake your head. Yeah, this is one of the moves. So we're in Richmond. We live near Richmond and we're upstairs. And I'm just watching the phone. He is killing it. And so he says, he's right in the middle of it. And he just breaks out in tongues. He goes, Isha, Basadasa, something like that, right? And I said, ooh. Because this time I'm not speaking in tongues. And I stopped the tape, right? And I wrote it down. I ain't gonna lie. I wrote it down. And I said, and I practiced it. And I memorized it. Oh, yeah, this is how it gets. Yeah, this is how it gets. I'm gonna show you. So it was so cold. He did it. It was so cold. I said, That's why you gotta have the right men. You see, things gotta be right. So we go to Bible study, and Bible study ends up being a preach. Bible study ends up being a preach, because I have decided Bible study was going to be a preach, because I got this new tongue. Ain't nobody ever heard it. This girl go down. They can see me get fire baptized, preach the roof down, and get folks saved all at the same time. And so it was this guy. His blood is on my hands. And I won't say his name, but he was like one of those hustlers that wasn't really good at it. So he kept getting in trouble, and then he would use and all of that type of stuff. And he came to our Bible study that night. And he came, and he was like, man, I'm looking for a church home. And so he comes up for prayer when it's over. And I go up and pray for him, and I touch his stomach, and I give that tongue again. The Lord said, he know you're faking. So the Lord said, he know you're faking. He knows you are faking. You know what? This is even though he wasn't good at it or whatever, he was still cool with me. So we're after church, and usually at other places he would stick around and we'd talk for 10, 15, 20 minutes, And he's like, man, I gotta get up too. And he didn't have anywhere to go, but he was just uneasy with me. Because all the years that he had known me, he had never seen me operate like that. And God had protected him from me. See, they don't tell y'all these stories. And I'm not saying, because maybe they didn't do it. Maybe the other pastors didn't do it. Maybe I'm the first one that was like, you know what? I just need people to think I'm deep. Maybe I'm the first one. And I've never been able to get that man back to church again. Here's the torturous part.
The Lord lets me be in his presence all the time. And there is nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. You see. To right that wrong. That's very young in ministry. Very lost in ministry. I often tell people I probably should have not started pastoring until about 5 years after I did, because I learned so much, you know. Like, I learned so much. And there was no doubt about my call. But just because you called don't mean that's the time. And if you don't operate in the time frame of God, you know, you can't jumpstart God. And if you don't operate in the time frame of God, you'll mess everything up. That's what happened with us over here. It wasn't that we came over here 100 deep. We came over here 100 adults deep. You know, we doubled who was here when we did the merge. You understand what I'm saying to you? And our kids drove somebody crazy upstairs. I said, ma'am, you're going to need some help. Oh, no, I've been doing this for years. I said, ma'am, you're going to need some help. I seen three little footprints on the wall upstairs. They let me know that it was three kids in Children's Church. And I told this lady, I said, lady, ma'am, you're going to need some help. Now, I got it. By the time the first service was over with, them 40-something kids ran up out there at Children's Church. That lady looked like she had a new perm. You hear me? It was crazy. She said, I'm going to take you out help next week, Pastor. I said, I thought you would. These ain't kids you're used to. It's one thing about having a lot of kids, but it ain't kids you're used to. You see. Lord, have mercy. All right. So, you know, you got to learn how to be quiet in the quiet times. You got to be able to wait in the waiting times. And you can't be walking around having to do prophecy because there ain't nobody doing nothing. Let me just go ahead and get this started up in here. You know, I saw it at a funeral not too long ago. People were crying. They were sad. And the guy gets up and goes, you know, well, I'm going to set it off in here. You can just see it in his face. I'm just going to go down. And he couldn't. So what happened was a person that was saved for real, Lord have mercy, was saved for real, set it off and wasn't even trying to. And then immediately the opportunist jumped in and, you see, and performed it. Because this thing going to be about me before it's over with. I know we're in the funeral. I know they, and I know y'all agree, but this is going to be about me for so long. You got to have the right men for the right mission. Amen. So I'm not done, but I'm wise to stop right there. 2 minutes to go. We got to learn how to submit. We got to learn how to. And so what you got, some of you got part two, okay? Some of you got part two. And what I'm going to do tonight at work is I'm going to actually do that on this page, on our page. I'm not going to wait till next Wednesday. I'm going to do that tonight on this page so that we can kind of catch up and then to let you know, okay? And if you need those answers to the first ones, I'll give them to you here in a second. But to let you know, when you walk in here next week, Don't not show up, because we'll just email you the test. There's going to be a test. Amen? And here's the thing. You know how the people be like, it don't matter. You know, this ain't a pass or a fail thing. This is. Because the reason is, and here's the thing. And if you don't test well, all you got to do is let me know. We'll test a different way. But we're going to test. Because, like, if you start doing stuff like that, it just makes more sense when you see somebody in your family that's lost to witness to them. Why? Because you're dealing with this stuff like this ain't normal. You know, I've been to a lot of churches. I don't see a lot of churches Bible studying and quizzing and testing and all of that. So when this thing is in you, what I'm trying to do is get this thing so far in you that all comes out of you is it. And I don't got you. I don't got you every day of the week as the world does. So I gotta do stuff that's abnormal, because I understand from Sunday to Sunday I lose you. From Wednesday to Wednesday, I lose you. Things happen. And after so many oops, my bad, I did it again, we just stopped forgetting. We just said, forget about it. I can't do it. I'm just going to let it go. So this is why I'm on the page constantly talking about something. This is why we have these groups that's constantly talking about something, because we don't get y'all as much as we need you, as much as the world does.
Amen.